I forgot to hit the button. Here's what I want, Paul, and you got to help me from that point. I want you to be able, when you're meeting with a client, whether it be on the phone or in person, I want you to be able to look at something that tells you when the last time is that you had a referral conversation with this client, and the result of that. That's what I care about. Can you do that with your system?
Yeah, I could do it. It's not the way you're asking me, but it's another way. Yeah, I could do it.
I think you could put referral in the subject of the note, you know, and then
that's it. So basically, what we'll do is we'll create a checklist, okay, for each time we're talking to the client So we'll create a checklist for each time we're talking to the client. Within that checklist, we'll be asking for referrals. But then we'll be able to see in the notes, we'll put a note that'll say referral in CRM, and then we'll be able to see when the last time we asked for a referral with that client. Does that sound good?
Yes. It sounds terrific. As long as you can, and forgive me for repeating it, because this is how you grow your business, that you can look and see what the referral history has been for this client. Can you do that?
Yeah.
That's all I care about. That's all. Could you go in now to a client and have you been doing this? Have you been going in and finding and creating a record of referral conversations with a client?
I don't keep records of it. No,
that's all I'm trying to do. I want you to always be aware of referral discussions. I asked you at the beginning of this call, I said, anybody recognize value? Bang, bang, bang. Three, right together. My strong suspicion is that this is an outlier, that you have had three people say something positive, recognize value in what you do. Am I right?
Well, you're exactly right. They recognize value, and then I don't swing the bat. So, you know, that's
all I'm trying to do. You're doing the hardest part, Paul. You are offering a practice that makes people comfortable and they recognize your value. That you're already doing it. That's the hard part.
Right.
The easy is saying, gosh, Barbara, thank you for bringing this money in. It's a real compliment that you would do that. I mean, that's the easy part. When people recognize value, that's a gift. Think about it as Christmas time. If somebody gave you a gift and you opened it and set it down and then moved on to the next gift, that person might be, you know, feel like you didn't really care. The person who gave you the gift you didn't comment on. So when people give you a gift, you confirm it. Thank you for saying that. We work really hard to provide this type of service. Thank you for saying that. We work really hard to guide people through these types of markets and so on. I don't care how you do it, whether it's electronic or folders. You're telling me that you've got a way to do it with a CRM. Terrific. Terrific. I'm not here to invent the wheel. I'm here to help you get into good habits that are repeatable. I want you to, I'll stop there. So if you can do that, and you can, what you've just told me, I'm good. I'm done as far as talking about, you know, keeping track of referrals. Good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
No problem. It's done. It's a done deal. I'm adding it to my appointment checklist right now.
Yeah. And do you see, if somebody gives you a compliment and you confirm it and it's not the appropriate time to start a referral conversation, because not every time is, you can always refer back to it when you're meeting with a client. Ms. Jones, back on August 13th, you said some very nice things about our practice, how we guided people through difficult markets. I really appreciate that. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of guidance? So just because you don't take advantage of it in the initial recognition of value, you want to be able to refer back to it specifically and have that discussion. We have I pounded this one? Have I whipped this horse long enough?
Yeah, we're on the same page. We're just, you know, I mangled it up. I apologize.
No, you didn't. No.
Let me ask you another question. So we're addressing when people compliment, but let's just say, you know, like this morning, I spent over an hour talking to a client who was complaining about something that I have no control over. You know, what do you do with complaints? I mean, you know, that are just, you know,
well,
I have some people.
Okay. First of all, you've got to confirm that you heard it. No different from if they give you a compliment. What were they complaining about, Paul?
They're getting their 529 statements. They're getting way too much paperwork from American funds. They're getting trade confirmations every month for their dollar cost averaging into American funds, and they're getting the trade confirmations, and it's too much paper.
Okay, is that something that they is? Okay, do you have any control over that paper flow coming in for them?
No, I have no control over that.
Okay, is all of that information that's on that confirmation, is that a separate statement from American Funds? It doesn't show up on their Ameriprise statement?
It doesn't show up, correct. It does not show up on Ameriprise, but they get an American Funds statement.
Yeah. Is American Funds legally obligated to send that stuff out?
Yes.
Okay. Then my response is, you know, I really appreciate you telling me that. I know that's a pain. It's important that you know that they are legally bound to send that information out. There are a lot of things that I have control over. I try to be really good at the things I have control over. That's one that is nothing cannot change. And that, you know, when you get to that point, your question, what do I do with complaints, is you validate it. If you can do something about it, you correct it. If you can't, you tell people. I don't think it's any more difficult than that.
Yeah, I agree. I have somebody that is unique in a lot of ways. They're special, all right. But they're also my second largest client, and so I try to do everything I can and give them our great service. But they make complaining an art, and so.
Well,
they take pride in it, almost like so. Okay, so.
Go ahead.
So we have a checklist. We have an appointment checklist that I work off of, and Suzanne gives it to me before every appointment, and it gives me a way to remember to discuss certain topics. And so I'm going to add a bullet point to discuss referrals. And then I'm also going to create a referral. I'm going to remind myself, create a referral note in CRM. And that's something I can go back and look at. When was the last time this person, I asked this person for a referral? So that should do what you're asking me to do, which is track my referrals. Sound good?
That's perfect. That's perfect.
All right. Done.
All right. Everybody gets a premium level of service. What it looks like, monthly scheduled contact, rapid response to questions, problems, or inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard, multi-generational and fully implemented planning. Everybody, that is your service model. You don't make it up. This is what all of your clients get. You roll out when you're talking to your clients about the refinements that you're making to your practice, and you're going to kick this process off on October the 5th. All got it. We got that.
Yeah, I have it on the calendar, October 5th.
Okay. Now, tell me, have you had any conversations about with your clients about the refinements you're making to your practice?
Yeah. I mean, I have, and then I realize I have a concern about rapid response. One of the clients said, you know, it sounds to me like, am I setting myself up to fail with that? Because there's obviously some things that I can't resolve that I'm relying on home office, or I'm relying on like a mutual fund company or somebody else to do. May not, you know, they may not honor that. And so
here's the answer to that. Most things are solvable at the local level. That's my experience. It may not be yours. When you see that there is, let's say somebody asks you to get something retyped, whatever, that has to go to the home office and everybody's got to approve it. So what you say to a client, you've told people when you roll this out, we offer rapid response to any questions, problems, inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard. And then when let's say there's something that Suzanne knows she can't get done in the next 24 hours, what she says is, on things that we get done at the local level, we have a 24-hour resolution standard. This normally, get something like this done, it normally takes a week and a half. I will keep you apprised as we go through the process. Here's what's happened. If somebody asks Suzanne to do something, she knows she can't get it done in that time, out of her control, she sets expectations. And then she follows up, Ms. Jones, we talked last Thursday about getting these assets retitled. Just want to let you know where it stands. It's in the home office. I follow up on it on a regular basis. That feels like you're being attentive to their needs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and then like I'm kind of following up on a regular basis, saying this is where we're at with an email or with a call, right?
Yes.
You know, I'm
yes.
still waiting to hear back from this guy.
Yeah.
You still are top of mind.
Yep. Just wanted to let you know I'm still on this. I see it every day, or however you want to put it. I your question about we don't want to set you up for failure. I've had some teams that put in their, when they roll this out, say we will get back to you within 30 minutes or an hour, I think they said. And I was uncomfortable with that. I said, do you really want to give that guarantee? They said, well, we've been doing it for like the last year and a half. So they were getting it done. But it's good that you think, you know, am I setting myself up for failure? No, you're not. You're making your, I said this before, everything you tell a client, a prospective client, they filter through what they're getting right now. So if you're following up on a regular basis to get these things done, that feels like great service, especially when they compare it to what they're getting now. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, let's go over the it's the bottom of the hour. You got some more time?
Yeah, we're good. We are available till 11.
Okay. Let's go through the progression, Paul. When you're talking to a client, I'm going to be the client, and you're calling me to tell me about the refinements to your practice. And just to set it, you've had a good conversation, and you say to me, now you want to roll it out. Tell me what's coming, and you say, Rob, do you have a few minutes I'd like to share some refinements I'm making to my practice. So let's do. Okay. Go.
Okay. You know, Rob, I've always confined my practice to a relatively small number of clients. I think of it like a concierge-style practice. This has allowed me to offer planning-driven practice with a formal investment process. I have it this way because I could never let the growth of my practice compromise the service we are giving. In order to maintain a high level of service, $500,000 is my new limit unless there are extenuating circumstances. I always want to have room in my practice for people like you and your family. My practice will continue to be held to a relatively small number of clients. The refinements and structure will mean that my team and I will be able to provide monthly contact, full implementation of your financial plan, and rapid response to any questions, problems, or inquiries you may have with the goal of a 24-hour resolution standard. We will keep you apprised. We will keep you apprised of the progress if it does take longer than 24 hours. We are implementing what we call a 12-4-2 service model. We're going to be reaching out to you 12 times a year, and within those 12 times, four are going to be portfolio reviews, and two are going to be face-to-face reviews. In addition, we're implementing multi-generational and fully implemented planning. And then I stopped there. And I said, do you have any questions or concerns about this? Then I wrote down, you know, common objectives. Client, I don't need monthly contact. And then I wrote down my response if they say that.
Okay. You've got all the information there. I want to make it a little bit more succinct.
Succinct.
Get the same thing across with fewer words.
You talked
for about 2 minutes there, and there are several times that I was going to ask a question and didn't get the opportunity. Here's the way that makes sense to me. Paul, do you have a couple minutes for me to tell you about some refinements I'm making to my practice? I'm going to play both sides here in the interest of time. Paul, do you have a few minutes for me to tell you about some refinements I'm making to my practice? Well, sure, Rob, I'd love to hear. On a regular basis, I take a step back and look at my practice and see if there are any things that I think I can do to improve the service that I give to my clients. I've been doing that over the last month and have decided to make what I think are some significant changes to my service model. Here's what I'm going to offer. I'm going to offer monthly scheduled contacts. Of those contacts, four quarterly reviews, two of the four are face-to-face, and the other eight will be just short calls to see anything that you need to have done, or I want to share anything happening in the market. Does that make sense to you? Well, Rob, I don't know. It makes sense, but what you're doing now is terrific. Well, thank you for saying that. I work really hard to, Suzanne and I work really hard to provide that level of service. I know this is different. Could you try it for 3 months? And if you still feel like it's too much, I'll dial it back. Well, no, I hear what you're saying, but I just like it the way it is. Well, I didn't get to this stage in my career by not listening to my clients. I hear you. Could we go ahead and schedule the four the 4 quarterly calls and get them on the calendar. Now, I should say that better than you say it because I've been saying it for a long time. So I'm not, this is not meant to, as I said a minute ago, you've got all the information. I just think it was, you know how you said a minute ago you're drinking out of a fire hose. That's what I felt when you were going over this with me. So do you have, I think it's important. Do you have a minute for me to share some things, some refinements I'm making to my practice? You're asking for permission. I'd love to know what you're doing. Terrific. On a regular basis, I take a step back and take a hard look at my practice to see if there is anything that I can do to improve the service that I offer to my clients. I've been doing that over the last month and have decided to make some, I think, really important changes. First of all, I'm offering my clients monthly scheduled contact. Of those 12 contacts, 4 are quarterly reviews and 2 are face-to-face. Secondly, I'm offering rapid response to any questions, problems, or inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard. Now, at this point, Paul, if you're saying you're offering this rapid response and you're already doing that for somebody, you can say, I'm going to continue to offer rapid response to any questions, problems, or inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard. You see the difference?
Yeah.
You're not saying what you did before was bad. You're just saying you're going to continue to do it. And then finally, everybody is going to be offered multi-generational and fully implemented planning. Does that make sense to you? You see how you're. Yeah, I know. I'm saying that's what you say to your, after you've gone through your service model, you say, does that make sense to you? So you're pausing and letting them, make this a two-way conversation. Well, Paul, it sounds terrific, but I don't think I need monthly scheduled contact. See, so now you're having a conversation. Well, I know it's a different. I think it's important. Could you try it for 3 months? And if it still feels like too much, I'll dial it back. Well, okay. If you think it's important, I'll do it. Terrific. Here are some of the – and then why are you doing this? Well, I'm doing this because, as you know, my – practice has always been confined to a relatively small number of clients. That's what allows me to offer this improved service model. Do you see how what I want to do is to make it flow. And here's what I think I shared this with you. After you do this about 3 times, you're going to put your script away because you're going to feel the flow. So.
Right.
It's just you probe for that people are engaged. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, I think it does. I think that sounds like a great idea. Well, terrific. My assistant Suzanne Carpenter is going to be calling you. We're going to kick all this off on October the 5th. Between now and then, my assistant Suzanne is going to call and schedule a time that works best for you. Terrific. Well, thanks for your time. Talk to you later. Oh, well, yeah, however. So do you see how that fits together?
I do, yeah. It flows a little bit better. It flows a little more.
The things, some of this stuff is better as a response. Well, why are you doing this? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm doing this because I can never I can do this because I've always had a relatively small practice, a smaller practice, not in assets, but in the number of clients, and enables me to deliver this kind of service. I want you to a lot of the stuff you covered was better a response than a proactive comment from your side.
Okay.
All right.
I'll try to. Yeah, I'll clean it up. I took some notes, and I'll try to make it less wordy.
Well, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. It's a big deal for you. It's a big deal for the client. I just want to make sure that it's succinct to the point, and then you can probe for acceptance. Does that make sense to you? However you want to say it. Now, let's go over the scheduling. Suzanne, when you call people to schedule, do you understand that you schedule blocks of time?
Yeah.
It's the same time. It's the second Tuesday of the month. It's the third Thursday of the month. You don't do it. You don't say it's always that your date's always the 15th, because sometimes the 15th is going to happen on the weekend. So,
right.
Ms. Jones, you schedule. I just make an example here. When you think about it, Paul, how you've got 60 clients to talk to everybody. You got to talk to 3 clients a day to get to 60 people a month.
Some of them are butlers, so they're not, you know, they don't need every month, but yeah.
Okay, well, but they need something. So how many non-butlers do you have, roughly?
Hold on 1 second. So figure 60 minus 13 is 47.
Yep. I'm making my note here. 47.
Yeah. 13 butlers.
Okay.
So figure 47. Okay. So 47 a month. So I figured it has to be two to three appointments a day.
Okay. Now here's one of the things you said is you have to get your practice under control. You told me that early. Your two reasons for Supernova: get your control of your business, need a service model. Would you think about going to see your lawyer, just knocking on the door and sitting in the waiting room for him? No, you wouldn't. People make appointments with their doctors, their dentists, their lawyers. So you want to have control of your schedule. So, you've got to. What is an ideal schedule for you? Let's say, just to make the math simple, you've got 60 people you got to schedule. I'm talking about non-butlers. Just making that up. That means three
right.
a day. That's 3 a day. That's 15 scheduled contacts a week.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I created a template. So we have a template that we follow. It's a weekly appointment schedule, and it's appointment, you know, we put appointments up to 3 appointments a day. Tuesdays, it could be 4 appointments, one in the night at 7 o'clock. I made Wednesday kind of a prospecting day where I'm focused on how to grow the business. Thursday, I have 3 appointments. Friday, I have 2 appointments. And so I have this like grid that I made on Excel. It's Monday through Friday, and then I put like callback times, and then I also put appointment slot 1, appointment slot 2, spot 3. We are kind of doing that. We haven't fully implemented it, just because we haven't really been reaching out to as many clients, because we're waiting for that October 5th, and so we've been doing all of our refinements and then servicing issues that have popped up. We've been focusing on those, and so, but yeah, I mean, we have a grid that we're following on a weekly basis. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. I want you to be in control of your schedule. So if you've got 15 a week, just making that up, do you, that means you could have 3 days of five calls and then 2 days that are open. You could take Fridays
right.
off. You could take Fridays off. You could take Mondays off. But that's, this is your chance to get to have your ideal day. So you've got to be able to.
Yeah, I don't want any days off. That's not, you know, that's just not who I am. But I would say that, you know, like I just want 1 day a week so I could prospect and figure out, you know, how to grow this business. And so other than that, I don't need a day off.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about a day you're not working. I'm just saying a day off proactive calls. I mean, if you think about it, think about, you've got three types of calls. You've got quarterly reviews, and let's say you want to schedule an hour for those, and you've got non-review months. Let's say that's a 45-minute call.
Okay.
And then you've got your non-review months, and those are update calls. You have a subject, and we'll cover that later. But these are not touch calls. Bill, how you doing? Blah blah blah. That nobody cares about that. You don't feel good. They don't feel good. But you want to have a topic for the month that you're talking to everybody about. So let's think about that. So if you, the math is that 67% of your calls are non-review months. You got 12 a year, four quarterly reviews, and then eight non-review months. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have non-review months and they take about 15 minutes, that's two-thirds of your calls. So,
right, I can bang those out really quick.
Yeah, really quickly. You're right.
Right.
While it looks like
Rob, so we were trying to figure that out. I mean, the logistics of having quarterly calls. Are we saying that, you know, we're going to have quarterly calls January, March? What's the next one? May.
January, March. April.
September
and December. Is that what people do, or do they kind of blend it in? And what I was thinking was is that we kind of blend it in, and so we don't get hit on those months. We kind of divide it up and put people on off months too. What, is that too complicated?
No, you part of it is, but you've got the general thought, Paul. You've got, everybody gets an hour. And again, let's say Ms. Jones she's the second Tuesday of the month from 9 to 10. Okay?
Right.
Doesn't mean you start in January. If you want to have this spread out. You said blend in. I think we're talking about the same thing. You want to have this spread out. You don't want everybody to be on the January April.
Right, exactly. January, the April, the September, and December, you know, it's nice to, exactly.
Yeah, so you spread it out. Suzanne looks at her calendar and sees that she's got a couple people, the first two people she schedules are on that January-April schedule. Well, she probably doesn't want to do that. Maybe she goes on one that's, you know, February, May, August, and November. You don't have to start on you don't want everybody on that same schedule. You with me?
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
Yeah, so, but just think of all the free time you have in a week. If you've got, uh, for, if you've got to make 20 calls a week, some of these you've got two-thirds of your calls are going to be non-review months. So while you've got an hour set aside on the calendar, in essence, you're only going to spend 15 minutes max on the non-review months. So your calendar could look full, but in reality, while it shows a full hour, you're only going to be on the phone for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, I got that.
Suzanne, are you with me on this?
Yes. I think the way I was setting it up for Paul was using the annual review date, and then whatever month that's in, I'll do the quarterly calls in those corresponding other quarters. So if it was January was their annual review date, I would schedule it for April, July, and October also.
Okay. Now, just the annual, Paul doesn't, with Supernova, you're doing semi-annual reviews. You're not doing just an annual review. You're doing two.
Yeah, I get that. Yep. Yeah, we're just saying, we have a printout that prints out when the annual review is technically due. But yeah, we're going to do it twice a year. You're right. We have to start, but we're just using this to get it started.
Spread
them out around the calendar. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we're together on that. So let's go back to the 20 calls. This is important. They're going to take, so that means you're going to have 16 people who you spend 15 minutes with. Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So then you're going to have, let's say you've got four. I'm just trying to make it all come out even. Let's say you've got three semi-annuals, and they're going to take 45 minutes. And then you got one annual, a semi-annual review. Okay?
Yeah.
So 16 calls at 15 minutes. What is that? Is that 4 hours? I don't have a calculator in front of me. What's 16 times 15 minutes? How many minutes is that? Okay, that's 4 hours. Okay, and then you got three at 45 minutes. So, how many? Do that for me. 90. That's right.
Yeah, it's 100. So it's call it 2.5 hours.
Okay, so this is the point. You're going to look like you're scheduled for 20 hours, okay? Okay. In essence, you are scheduled 4 hours for non-review calls, 2.5 hours for your over-the-phone reviews, and 1 hour for people coming into your office. That's a total of 7.5 hours that you're really scheduled.
Right.
You got it? So
yeah.
Even though, you say I'm looking for time to prospect, build my practice, in essence, you got a lot of holes in your schedule. So my point is, once you get these people scheduled, the first time you look at your week, you say, my goodness, that's a lot. In essence, it's 7.5 hours, which gives you a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, you still have another 30 hours that week to do other things.
Yes.
Is your point, right?
That is my point. Now, here's go back to what you got to let Suzanne know. When do you want to start your day? What time do you want to start the call-ins? I mean, your calls.
10 o'clock.
Okay. When do you want to be finished?
Last call.
When do you want the last call to end?
Depending on the day, but we'll say 4 o'clock, last call.
So your last scheduled call begins at 3. And again, sometimes that's going to take 5 minutes. Sometimes it's going to take an hour. Okay?
I have my last scheduled call at 4, but okay, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, no, what I'm asking is when do you want to be finished? If you said 4 o'clock, so your last call is scheduled at 3. If it takes an hour, that's 4 o'clock and you're done.
Yeah, I want to walk out the door at 5:30 every day.
Okay,
so
well then
that's my goal.
Okay, but do you see what you're doing here is you're building your schedule, not just being reactive to clients.
Yeah, but I also schedule callback times every day too, which allows me also to build my schedule as well, right? So, you know, somebody calls in, you know, I'm not talking to them. I'm not going to stop what I'm doing to talk to them. Instead, Suzanne's going to say, he can call you back tomorrow between the hours of 1 and 2 o'clock. Does that work for you? No, that doesn't work for me. Okay, well, maybe we can set up a time for you both to talk. Can he call you between, 2 and 3 tomorrow? He's got some free time then. He doesn't have an appointment. Whatever that is,
okay.
Right?
Okay. Now, you're paying me to tell you what I think, right?
Yeah.
To say that Paul can call you back tomorrow, to me, is not offering a premium level of service. Unless you're gonna be out of the office. So if you've got, again, let's go back to what we said. You've got on a typical week, you've got 16 5-minute calls where you're scheduled for an hour. You've got plenty of time. You've got plenty of time to return that call that day. Remember what your service model is. Now, your service model is more than just operational things.
Rob, you're right.
Yeah. So
that was an old thing that I learned from Jones. But you're right, it doesn't work. If we're saying we're going to resolve an issue or acknowledge an issue within an hour and resolve it in 24 hours, but I can't just call the client back 24 hours later. You're right.
Yeah. The 24 hours is a standard, and it's you can do better than that on a lot of issues. So here's how I would think that would go. Somebody calls, gets Suzanne, you're in the middle of a conversation with a client. And it's very simple. She says Paul is with is on a conference call with a client. Paul's with a client. Whatever. Is there anything I can help you with?
Right.
And after a while, people are gonna. I mean, they don't all know Suzanne really well because she's new. But after a while, when they ask her to do things and she gets them done, and they develop a confidence with getting help. They'll say, sure, Suzanne, here's what I need. Or they can say, no, this is really something I need to talk with Paul. Well, he is on a call. It looks to me, looking at his schedule, he'll be off the call in sometime in the next 30 minutes. May he give you a call then? That to me is, sounds like really good service.
Yeah, I agree.
We agree. Okay. You got it, Suzanne?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the other thing. I want you to start calling clients now. The purpose of the October 5th date is to give you time to get people scheduled. It gives you time to talk to people. You talk to a client, this is what we're going to do. Suzanne, we'll be in touch with you to schedule a time that works best for you. We're going to start this new service model on October the 5th. Because you just can't go from what you're doing now to on October the 5th something entirely new. You're going to on a quality way. You're going to have conversations with your clients. You know, maybe you get five scheduled a week. So, go ahead.
So are you saying, Rob, I'm sorry, when you say you want you calling now, do you mean you want Suzanne calling now and setting up appointments?
No, I want you calling the clients and setting the table for her calling them back. You go through, I'm making some refinements to my practice. Do you have a minute to hear about them? You go through it. And they say, okay, that sounds great. Let's give it a try. You say, terrific. We're going to kick this off on October the 5th. Suzanne will be calling you between now and then, scheduling a time that works best for you.
All right.
You let's say here's a false choice. Would you rather have three people scheduled by October the 5th or have and it go really well and you add to it? Or would you rather get them all scheduled and you don't feel very good about it? The answer is simple. You do that. You set this up slowly. We want it done well. I don't want you talking to 6 to 47 people in a hurried fashion. And it doesn't go very well. I want, if you've got three, I'm just making the number up, you've got three people scheduled you're kicking off on October the 5th, it'll go very smoothly because you haven't put yourself under heavy pressure.
Yeah. So, As I'm currently calling clients and, you know, continuing to move the needle for whatever needs to be done every day, as the conversation allows, I try to, you know, I do throw this in and start telling people. But what I should do is also end it by saying, I'll have Suzanne call you to set up. I'll have Suzanne call you to set up a scheduled time for us to talk every month.
Suzanne's going to call you and schedule a time that works best for you. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. And then... And I'm getting to close to the end here. We're going to talk next week about how you remind people, how you reschedule people. If Ms. Jones is, you call your client a week before their appointment, just to remind them, and how to handle that if they say they can't keep that appointment.
I mean, is it? So that in itself turns into a lot of work, just calling people to remind them they have an appointment.
Is it wrong to assume,
I mean, we have a tracking system that when somebody sets an appointment, we have email that go out that says, this is a reminder, you have an appointment with Paul next Tuesday, you know? So does she need to be calling in addition to that?
No.
Right. That was always an issue with a previous assistant I had. That was always a big issue, was the time it took to reaffirm the appointments.
Let me tell you how we teach it, and then I think it fits perfectly with what you described to me. A week before the meeting, the client gets an email that says, just a reminder, you've got your quarterly review with Paul next Tuesday. you get an email back from Ms. Jones, and she says, gosh, the grandchildren are in town. We can't keep that call. We can't keep that call. Let's assume it's a non-review call. And here's Suzanne's response. Thank you for letting us know. Is there anything I need to pass on to Paul? The response most of the time is going to be, no, everything is good. You with me to this point?
Yeah.
Suzanne's response, terrific. We'll talk to you next month.
Right.
You do not schedule non-review missed calls. That turns into telephone tag, and it's just bog you down. You do not if your best client could only see you on one day and they really need to talk to you, yeah, you'll make an exception. But by and large, you do not reschedule those calls. Now, if it's a review, Suzanne says, well, Ms. Jones, thanks. This is all email. Thanks for letting me know. Paul's got time here, here, and here. Do any of those work for you? Do you see how all that flows?
Yeah. You got them, Suzanne?
So,
it's only the reviews that we reschedule. We don't reschedule the monthly calls.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's an unreasonable expectation, folks, that your clients are going to keep every call every week. It just doesn't happen. Paul, you remember how we talked a minute ago, while you're scheduled for 20 hours, you're only really on the phone for 7.5?
Yeah.
Reality, you're going to be on the phone a little less than that.
Yeah, it seems like, I agree with you. I know that. And I knew that from the beginning. I mean, a 15-minute call, usually it's going to be a 5-minute call. And in an hour call is only going to be a 45-minute call. That's common.
Yeah, But what's important for me for you is, number one, you deserve to control your practice. It's what every other professional does.
I mean, right.
When I get a haircut, it's scheduled. I'm sure yours is too. It's just the most efficient use of time. So. It's important that you have control of your practice. This is how you do it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Now, Suzanne, do you have any questions?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm clear.
Okay. Now, Paul, here's let's go back to the kickoff. Have you told any would you feel more comfortable setting your kickoff date back a week? Again, this is not a race.
I'm good. I'm ready to go. I mean, I kind of felt like, initially I felt like it was I was going to get going right away, but then I stopped because you said it's too soon. Wait till the 5th. So, I have started lining people up and saying, and introducing the new service model, but I did back off of it, but now I understand. I didn't understand then that I can start lining people up, and I'll add that line. I'll have Suzanne call you to schedule a time that works best for you to the end of my script here.
Can I ask, so it sounds like Paul should start with his best clients while the calendar is most open.
Bingo. You start with the best client. You want them to have first choice on what works best for them.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, we can get Maureen scheduled, right? I mean, Maureen is up. I mean, sometimes, is it... So, last question, and I know you got to go, but... sometimes as I'm talking to clients and I'm walking them through this, it just seems easy for me to say, well, let's figure out when works for you, Mrs. Client. What day of the week works for you? now that I have you on the phone, can you do, you know, the first Tuesday of the month at 10 o'clock?
Yes, that's fine, but you've got to have the calendar in front of you so you don't schedule over something that Suzanne's already done.
Yeah, and I do. We have
right.
Our schedules are
shared.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let me go. Yes, that's fine to do it that way, but it requires communication between the two of you. You write it on a little stick of paper, one of those yellow sticky notes, Miss Jones Tuesday at 10, and then you forget to give it to Suzanne. That's you can't do that. Now let me do one other thing here, and then I do have to go. We talked about two of the four reviews in person, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you have a good client, a client who says, are you in a fairly convenient place?
We're in a very convenient place.
Okay. Well, here's the point I'm trying to make, and then you apply it to your surroundings. If people say, I can't make it for that in person, could we do it over the phone? What's your answer?
Of course.
Of course. Now, if they do that two times in a row, then you want to have a gentle conversation. I'm happy to do these over the phone, but I do think it's important that we see each other face to face at least on an annual basis.
And you know, Rob, I mean, we've transitioned to that. You know, the face to face is a WebEx call. I mean, you know, we're basically ground zero here of the pandemic in one of the most densely populated areas in the country. So, you know, we're not letting people come in here. We don't want them to come in here. And they don't want to come. They don't want to come either. They want the WebEx and the phone calls right now.
I'm with you. Do your clients, by and large, know how to do those type of calls?
Well, yeah, that's a fair question. Some of them do, some of them don't. I did have one guy who couldn't get it to work on his computer. So, you know, that's definitely a concern.
Well, that might be something you might offer. I mean, are most of your clients close by?
No, they're all over the country.
You told me that. You know who can do it and who can't. Especially if you're going back to not promising and not being able to deliver. If you got a client in Spokane, Washington, I'm just making it up. It's unreasonable to have two face-to-face meetings a year. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but what I was doing is, we can easily say we print out the portfolio, we print out our suggestions, we bind it in a nice binder. We mail it to them a week ahead of time, and then they have it in front of them as I'm reviewing it on the phone. I think that works too, right?
It does. And if you got somebody in Spokane, and this is, Paul, common sense, when you've applied common sense to things in your life, it's usually worked out better than when you don't apply common sense. So common sense here is if you got somebody in Spokane, Washington, maybe your service model for them is four quarterly reviews. You don't have to say face to face.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Yours would be 12-4.
Right.
Not 12. Again, it gets down to you don't want to promise something you can't deliver.
Right. Yeah, I get that. And, you know, we're going to have to, I'm looking forward to going through this with clients and seeing how that's going to break down with each one of them. I mean, everybody's going to be their own, you know, most people will fit the norm, but there are going to be people that are just going to say, you know, it's too much or, it's just not going to work out. So, you know, I think that, but having the model and then picking and choosing how we're going to use the model, I recognize that. Common sense. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it gets back to not over promising. So, I think we're all in agreement here.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing.
Okay, so what I would like for you to do is start talking to your clients. And
all right,
and again, that's where the script, you know, that I sent. I've sent you several, but that one, it starts with an outside consultant. Just, again, it'll start flowing. But make sure and don't feel like you've got to cover every – when you first did your pitch, it was too much. So you want to hit the highlight, and then do you have any questions? Well, why are you doing this? Or – do you have any questions? Well, I just think monthly schedule contact is too much for me. Now you've got a conversation, and here and Paul, you got a good product here to offer. You're offering a level of service that few receive in this business. So when you're calling, you're really offering something. You're not selling something. You see the difference?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
All right. I'm going to send you. I got some other homework I want you to do, but I'm just going to, in the interest of time, send that to you via email, and I will get back to you on why your Rob Knapp videos are not down, you can't download them. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good to talk with you. Talk with you next week.
You too. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.